Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message, already in progress.
You'll be with me in paradise. Amen. If you're looking forward to that, come on, why don't you put your hands together to give God some praise, some glory, some honor. You can be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. Truly, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's make some noise for this skillful band. We thank God for them. This band, oh, y'all do much better than that. I think we got the best band in Jacksonville, Florida. I say that unashamedly. We thank God for the J Crew. Thank God for Jerry Johnson, Mr. Bernard Johnson, and our drummer Johnson. We thank God for all the Johnson. We thank God. And the Johnson. I used to ask her, how are you doing? But now I say, how are y'all doing? But she's great with child. She's great with child. So we thank God. I prophesied Thursday night that there's two of them in there. But amen. But we thank God. I thank God my wife is here. I love my baby. My baby say I love you. Appreciate you. Thank God for Pastor C, Lady C. I just wanted to just kind of digress for a moment, because isn't this wonderful? Look at it around the room. This March Madness. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? We thank God. For the media team, I was so sorry. It looked good to me, y'all. This whole side, ain't nobody clap over here. Amen. They must don't like the decor. I like them. Amen. I guess you don't see your team. But, you know, it's the only team that really matters is this one that's right here. We're talking the team that really matters, Florida State Seminoles and North Carolina Tar Heels. And somebody put some Gator stuff up. The devil is a lie. Amen. Oh, mercy. We got the U. Hurricane, I guess. Yeah, it's a hurricane, all right. We thank God for everybody. But no, we thank God for the media team that designed, and also Cam and whoever else helped put this together. This is absolutely phenomenal. We thank God. Thank God for them. She sang and put stuff up. Amen. All right. And she's an all-purpose person. We thank God. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. I think it's so important. I think it's so vital, so essential. Those of us, that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have a relationship with God, I believe it's absolutely essential for us to know the importance of the cross of our Savior. The cross is the central theme of our life. Our entire relationship with God, in a real sense, is based upon the cross. If Jesus had not died on the cross, then you and I would still be in our sins. If he had not died on the cross, but let's not just stop there, because you can't stay at the grave, because 3 days after he died, the Bible says he rose with all power in his hand. So the cross is the central theme of our relationship with God. It's what it's all about. And we call Resurrection Sunday, I call it our Super Bowl Sunday, because it just simply commemorates. Now, to all my people who don't get hung up on days, I definitely agree with you, because every day ought to be a day that we remember and commemorate the resurrection Lord Jesus Christ. But it's something special when all the body of Christ all around the world take that day, take that moment, and look and remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did. When all of us come together and have singleness of heart and singleness of mind, you cannot argue the point that there's a special anointing that's attached to that. And so here, as we're marching towards this is the thing, Madness. We're marching towards the cross. We're marching toward Via Dolorosa, which is just simply the path or the way of suffering. We're marching to that place of the skull, that hill called Golgotha, that place of the skull, to where our Savior was murdered, was killed. We're marching towards that, and we are remembering not just what he did on the hill, but what he said while he was on the hill. our Lord and our personal Savior, all of the beating that he took, all of the whipping that he underwent, all of the nails and all of the crown of thorns and everything that transpired, he still had enough strength. He still had enough tenacity, hear me good, to have some conversations from the cross. While he was on the cross, he said some things, and we began this last week talking about the seven last words or the seven last sayings of Jesus Christ. And here, this is the second saying that we have, and we must put our hearts and our minds. I want you to put your mind there. I want you to picture yourself being there as we look at our Savior being suspended between heaven and earth. As we look at our Savior, the Persians are the ones that really invented this crucifixion, and the crucifixion is just symbolic of the fact that they didn't believe that anyone should get executed on the ground, because they believed that the ground was holy, the ground was sacred. So they would lift you up in the air and they would torture you. They would make that death be so agonizing, make it be so excruciating, making it prolonging it so much to the point the way it really was a witness. It was a witness to the people that's walking around. It was so bad. It was so difficult. So when someone walked by and saw someone on the cross, they would say to themselves, that'll never happen to me. They did it in the open. They did it publicly. And it was really a scare tactic. It really was terrorism, the way they were trying to terrify the people, the citizens of the city, to get them to the point to where, because you see, if you break our law, if you break our rules, this is exactly what it is that we would do to you. But I'm glad that Jesus, when he came into this world, he came into this world for the moment that we all have been waiting for. This is the moment that Jesus Christ came into the earth to do. He had 30 years of preparation for 3 years of ministry, for 3 hours of purpose. It was 30 years of preparation. It was 3 hours of 3 years, 3 years of ministry for 3 hours of purpose. He did not come to turn water into wine. I'm going to keep telling you this. He did not come to unstop the deaf ears. He did not come to open up the blinded eyes. He did not come to walk on water. He did not come to do all these miracles, signs, and wonders. But because he was here, that was just simply a byproduct of heaven touching earth. But the reason why he came is exactly what we're keying on, is the fact that he would give his life a ransom for you and I. That's exactly why he came. You ought to put your hands together for that, because that's why he came. So the Bible says, look with me in Luke chapter 23. Let me dive right in, because we got a lot of ground to cover. Look what it says in Luke chapter 23, verse number 33. The Bible says, when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Here, Jesus is being crucified, literally being murdered. And while he is being murdered, he's being murdered with some murderers. He's being killed with some killers. He's dying the death of a criminal with some more criminals. Here, Jesus, his whole life, he was born in a manger, literally born in a cave, literally born with animals, and he's going to die with criminals. Look at the life that our Savior lived. He was born with animals and he's going to die with criminals. He didn't come to set up a world. He didn't come to set up, as it were, a new world order. When you talk about the different things that we see as it relates to the government, he didn't come to overthrow the government. He didn't come to underthrow Caesar and do all these different things. But no, he did come to establish a new world order. He did come to establish a new kingdom. But the kingdom that he came to establish, it came without observation. You cannot see the kingdom that Jesus came to establish, but no, it's something that you and I receive in our heart. So here he's dying with some criminals. He's dying with some individuals, but here Luke just tells us that they are criminals, but Luke does not tell us what type of criminals. I ran across something as I was studying this text, and I forgot to mention it earlier, that do you know that up to 25% of the world's population have a criminal record? 25% of the world's population have a criminal record. You want to know what that means? That means one out of every four people have a criminal record. Let's try this. One, two, three, four. Y'all not gonna help me here. Have a criminal record. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Pastor Kobe got locked up before. Y'all not gonna help me here. I got locked up. I went down the road a couple of times. But can I tell you, I didn't go down the road. I was in there, and I tell y'all all the time, I was in there. It was one brother was over there sharpening up his knife. And he said, they called him Tiny. I don't know why they called him Tiny, because he was huge. But they called him Tiny. Somebody asked Tiny, say, Tiny, what you in for? He said, I killed five people. Somebody else, another brother was over there lifting weights. They said, what you in for? They said, I robbed the bank in the broad daylight. They say, what you in for, Kobe? I said, I was driving on suspended license. Yeah, surrounded around criminals. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. Little old me. No, I don't want to take no. I don't know. I'm not. I don't want no. No, I don't want no. I don't want no. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. I don't want any. I don't want no dealings with nothing because I'm too small for that. Now I don't know. That's why I had to get up out of there. Y'all ain't gonna help. But can I tell you one? You just got there. You gotta stay. Somebody just got there. Yeah. I ain't know. Anyway, my point is this: that one out of every four people have a criminal record. So here I want to tell you that Jesus loves even criminals. Jesus loves even individuals that have a record or that have been down the road, been up the road, that experienced something. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and get no record. No, I didn't say, I got my word. You can put your finger up and get out. No, I'm not telling you to go out here and get no record. I'm not telling you, see, I told you it's okay. No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying after the fact that after you have broke the law, after the fact the Lord was able to do something with you. But the Bible tells us what kind of criminals these were. Look at Matthew 27, verse 38. That's why you need the other gospel writers, because they kind of fill in the blank and let us know what type of criminals these were. Look what Matthew said. Matthew says, then two what? Robbers were crucified with him. One on the right and one on the left. When you look at that word robber in the Greek, it literally means one who committed violence in the open. I taught you during the time we were talking about tithing. Malachi says, will a man what? Rob God. I told you that a thief is one that waits for you to not be home and they sneak into your house. A thief is someone that waits for you so they can get the drop on you and they can be able to steal or take from you. But someone who robs someone, they do it in the broad daylight. They'll do it in your face. They'll kick your door down. They'll do it walking down the street. And these individuals that's dying with our Savior are those type of men. They are those type of criminals. They are robbers. They have committed some open crime. But I'm so glad that when I examine the life of my Savior, even as I see him hanging there on the cross, I love the fact that Jesus is always hanging with sinners. He's always hanging with sinners. You just got that. Come on, you got to stay with me. You're on a 5-second delay. Hey, can I tell you that Jesus, he always finds himself hanging with sinners. I don't understand how those of us that say we know Jesus and love Jesus and follow Jesus don't like sinners. I'm not telling you to go to the club with your friends that are sinners. I'm not telling you to go to the party with your Pastor Fair. I need to hang with the thinner, so give me the red cup too. No. I'm not telling you to grab the red cup. I'm not telling you to slosh it around. No, that's not what I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you that you ought not to put yourself, bubble yourself in such a world that where you only hang around people that walk like you and talk like you and smell like you and dress like you. No, that's not what we ought to do as the church, as believers. We should be around sinners, because if we're not around sinners, how in the world will we convert sinners? How in the world will we win sinners? Stop asking God to take you off that demon infested job. He will not pull you off that demon infested job. The fact that you're on that demon infested job is because God wants to save some of them demons. Stop asking God to kick all them demons out of your house. Come on, hear somebody. No, they're in your house so God can allow you to be there, to be a light, to be an example to them, that where they can see how they're
supposed to live and how they're supposed to carry themselves. You ought not insulate your life to push all the sinners on the outside and push all the people. Don't go to church. You don't want to be around them. But no, I'll hang around them. Come on, we hang around our family and we go to the family. You shouldn't go and put yourself on some ivory tower not to be around your family. I know they're going to call you Sanctified Sally. I know they're going to call you Holy Rare. I know when you walk up, they're going to say, put the cars up. Here come Rare. Here come Deke. You're not even no deacon, but they say, here come Deke. All right, excuse me, Deke. No, that's fine. That's all right. I want to hang around. I'm not going to go in the house. I'm not going to hide in the corner. I want to be around you. Now, I'm not going to tell you to pup up past. That's not why I'm telling you to be around me. I'm not going to tell you to let me see what you got. That's not what I'm trying to say. But no, I'll be around you because I want to rub off on you. Come on here, somebody. I want to be around you, let you know that being saved and loving God is not about you walking around with a halo on your head. Being saved and love God is not about you being this and being that, but it's no about having a real relationship with God. Jesus is found hanging with sinners. And look what the first thing he said. We unpacked this last week. Look at verse 34. We back in Luke's gospel, Luke 23, 34. The first thing he uttered from the cross, the first conversation he had from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't have time to unpack and reteach this and re-preach this. You have to download the app and listen to it on the app or buy the CD or the DVD. But we talked about this last week, how this was the first thing that Jesus said from the cross. He's asking God to forgive them that's killing him. He's asking God to forgive those individuals that know better. But Jesus says they don't know better because they really don't understand what they are doing. And the Bible goes on in verse number 35, it says, and the people stood by. They were watching. But the Bible says the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. He is the Christ of God, the chosen one. Come on, can't you see the picture? They're there at the cross. You got these individuals hanging there, and you got the religious leaders, those that supposedly know God the best, are pointing at Christ and say, look at him. Who's going to save him? Look at, you know how they had a little evil laugh. look at him. Now he's supposed to be the Messiah. He's supposed to be the chosen one. Isn't it amazing how people can celebrate your demise? Isn't it amazing how people want to see you fall? They want to see you quit. They want to see you in a down and a rough patch in your life. These individuals, they wait on the moment and they got Jesus where they want him at. But not only was the religious folk, verse 36 tells me that the soldiers mocked him as well. They're coming up and they offered him sour wine. You know, a king is supposed to get offered the best. A king, come on, the book of Nehemiah tells us how Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king and he brought the wine before the king. So they were doing this as an act of sarcasm to give him some sour wine. Well, you're supposed to be the king. Here, let me give you some wine. Look at verse 37. And they said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. If that's not worse, bad enough, look at verse 38. It says, and they also put an inscription over him on the cross. This is the king of the Jews. Look at these four different groups mocking the Savior. The people, the religious leaders, the soldiers, and we're going to see in a moment, even the criminals. They're mocking the Savior. They're talking about him. They're pointing their finger at him because of what's going on in his life. Look at verse 39. I'm just walking through this. Is this okay? I'm just walking through the Bible. Hopefully, y'all don't mind. Look at verse 39. Don't tell me that. Look at verse 39. It says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. I love this because this brother is in excruciating pain. It has to hurt him to breathe. It has to hurt him even to open up his eyes and to be able to be conscious enough to be able to turn his head. And he musters up enough strength to want to throw some shade, 2018, throw some shade at Jesus. Look at the power of the moment, how you got the religious leaders, you got the soldiers, you got the crowd, you got these three different groups talking about Jesus, and now it's so thick, it's so electric that now even someone on the cross finds himself mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to warn you the importance of watching the folk you hang around. Now, Pastor, you just told us we ought to hang around sinners. Yeah, you ought to hang around sinners when you're stronger than sinners. Come on here, somebody. You ought to hang around sinners when you, come on here. If the Lord delivered you from being an alcoholic for 25 years, I'm not going to send you in ABC. I'm not going to send you an ABC liquor and tell you to go and win the whole world. No. If God delivered you from the crack house, I'm not going to send you in the crack house talking about you're going to go get everybody else. I'm going to get everybody in there that I used to be. No, don't you go in there. No, you go to the Boy Scouts. Come on here, somebody. No, you go to Winn-Dixie or something. You go to the store. You don't go to the, no, y'all ain't gonna help me here. What I'm trying to tell you that you have to watch even the religious folk, not just sinners, even the religious folk, because when you watch it, I bet you can look at it in your life and you can chronicle it in your life. When someone has a bad spirit, hangs around someone that has a good spirit, if they keep on hanging around that person with a bad spirit, that bad spirit gonna jump off of them and gonna get onto them. Come on, somebody. I promise you, I've seen it so many times. People can be hungry for the things of God. People can be thirsty for the things of God, and they hook up with somebody with a bad spirit. Hook up with somebody that got one foot out the door and the other foot on a banana peel. They can hook up with somebody who's halfway out the door. Now this person that's on fire, this person that loved God, this person that loved their church, this person that loved their leaders, and all of a sudden they're hooked up with this person with a bad spirit, and before you know it, they're out the door with the person with the bad spirit. Come on here, somebody. I got Bible for you since you think I'm just talking. 1 Corinthians 15:33 said, be not deceived. Don't you fool yourself. Evil communication corrupt good manner. And when you hang around somebody that always got some negative say, you hang around somebody that always say, I don't like that, I don't understand that, I don't know why. No. You need to find yourself some friends that where they're going to speak life into you. You need to find yourself some friend that where they're going to add some value to you. You need to find yourself some friend, because you'll be just like this man in a bad situation just because they doing all this talking. Just because they talking noise about the Savior, now he want to talk some noise. I must be very careful how I let your opinion of a person shape my opinion of them. I tell people all the time, get to know me. Don't tell me about what they said. Anybody know they? They said this. They said, no, you need to get to know me for myself. You need to hang around me. You need to rub elbows with me. And here I can be. I'm the kind of individual, and I've been criticized for this. They'll say, you're a chameleon. How is it that you can be friends with two bitter enemies? This brother right here can't stand this brother, and this brother can't stand that brother, but I'm friends with both of them. And when I'm friends with both of them, I'm not compromising my relationship with the other one. And I'm not with him. Let me say it plainly so you can understand. I'm not with him talking about him, and then when I'm with him, I'm talking about him. I'm not playing both side, but no, I'm my own man. I make up my own mindset. I have my own way of doing things. I don't care what you say about him. I didn't see that in him. I don't care what you say about him. He didn't bother me. That didn't offend me. And I can learn how to live between the tension. You got to learn. I guarantee there's some folk right now you don't like and you don't know why. There's some folk you can't stand, and you don't know why you can't stand them. You don't know why you don't like. You just don't like them because, well, what you say about them again? You got to go back and get confirmation to try to figure out what was it again? What did he do now? That's why I tell married folk, don't you go around mom and them house after your wife unburnt the biscuits. Now you going back to your mama house talking about, man, come on, mom, she unburnt them biscuits again. Are you mad? Now you telling mama that she burnt the biscuit. Now you go back home and then she went to Red Lobster and bought you a whole six pack. Come on, how about shout out? Of them garlic. I felt the Holy Ghost just then. I'm sorry. Bought you six garlic. My wife tell you, if we go anywhere by that, I'm saying, hold on a second, let me go in here. Can I get an order of biscuits, please? I just go get up. Anybody other than me, just go get some. I want no Red Lobster. I want no lobster. I want no scampi. Come on here, just give me an order.
This whole side greeted, just like me, right over here. Now you went back home and she got you some biscuits laid out. And you said, I'm sorry, baby. Now next time you go over mama house, she gonna say, hey, ma, how you doing? Now mama mad at her for burning my baby biscuits. You ain't had no business going over there telling her she burnt your baby biscuits. Come on here, somebody. You ain't got no business telling your bitch. Keep your business to yourself. And you make her, because mama don't understand the fact that she don't know how to cook the biscuits right. But the Bible tells me, y'all know I'm talking right. You don't be going around here telling folk your business and don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to be unforgave them. It's okay. It's okay, mom. No. I know something going on. What's wrong with you? I can look in your eyes. I ain't been sleeping 2 days. I mean, that's all. I'm good. But no, you shouldn't have told your business. But anyway, look. Verse 39 says, one of the criminals who was hanging with Jesus, look what he says. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. So he sees Jesus, wants to join in the mocking, wants to join in talking down about the Savior. And now all of a sudden he's talking to Jesus. He's mocking Jesus. But Jesus teaches me something. The first thing I see that Jesus teaches me, even from the cross, we see something. We see the silence of the Savior. This brother